Well, we're talking about growing up spiritually. Hallelujah. It's a subject you can talk about any time because we're all still in that same category. We're all just still growing. Hallelujah. And we do want to keep growing. It's just important that we maintain. I really don't believe in, well, I know from a standpoint, it's sort of you can maintain a life of growing spiritually, or you do degress. And really, from scripturally, it's accurate. You will degress if you don't maintain, keep going along and keep growing. And so, we want to keep up on the, in the areas of growing spiritually. We had been talking about the, what was called the, what's the natural man, which was the person who wasn't born again. We'd finished that up the last time we met, and we began to talk about the carnal man. And the carnal man is a Christian who is a born-again man, but he lives a carnal life. He doesn't live a spiritual life. And so he gets born again. And one of the things is understanding about this man is sometimes it's very hard to tell a person who is carnal, a carnal Christian sometimes from an unbeliever. It can almost be very difficult to do. And it's number one in that area of life is really a person. You know, usually you get some people who get born again and never grow up. But some people, and we're going to talk about this some, there's some people who start off as a Christian in a Christian life and they do grow to a certain point and then all of a sudden they just sort of start dropping back, and after a while, they're living a totally different life. And they were, you know, maybe years ago, were much more spiritual than they are right now. And we'll talk about that because that happens to people. I know people personally today that were 100 times more spiritual years ago than they are now. And, you know, now they live a very carnal life. And they used to walk in the Spirit. They used to understand a lot of things and they've just gotten away from them. And, you know, you get over living in the flesh and after a while you can just lose contact with your inner man. And the inner man doesn't get to operate very much and he doesn't get to do many things. But we talked about the carnal man. Last, we had looked at some scriptures that we had before talked about in somebody growing up from 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. And Paul writing to them, he was writing to them because they were in this condition. Paul wouldn't have made these statements about these people if they hadn't had the opportunity to grow, but they hadn't walked into it. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, in verse 1, he said, I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual, but as carnal, as to babes in Christ. He said, I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you were still not able. In other words, Paul must have felt that they had been able to do it, but they hadn't. They hadn't grown. They hadn't, you know, they were given the opportunity, but they hadn't followed it. He said, for you are still carnal. He said, for where there are envy, strife, divisions among you, and you're not carnal, and behave like mere men. In other words, they act like a person who is a natural man who has not been saved. So they're acting in that manner. So they had the opportunity, they're fed the Word of God and had the opportunity, but had not walked in the opportunity to grow. They just continually followed the life that they were in. So we see there were signs of carnality. He says here in this instant, they're dealing with envy, strife, and division. So those things were what were going on that they could see. Well, you know, and it's one of the things Jesus said that you would know people by their fruit. And so you could examine and see what was being produced in them, their condition. So he said in their condition that he couldn't talk to them as being spiritual. And that's why you'll notice that wherever a person's level is in if their maturity, if a person lives a carnal life, you're going to find as a Christian, if you try to talk to them on a spiritual level, you're pretty much wasting your time because they're not going to get it. You know, they will usually feel if you talk to a lot of times to a person who stays carnal and you talk to them about spiritual things and from the standpoint you're trying to help them, most of the time they feel that you're being critical about them. You're judging me. They go right to that. That's what babies do. See, babies don't like to be corrected. Even if you're doing it, trying to do it for their good, you're not being mean to them, you're not being ugly, you're just trying to help them, and they just don't like that, you know? And especially when they're big babies. When they're big babies, that's the worst. You always have the hardest time. You know, the older a person gets than being acting like a baby, the worse they become. The harder it is to deal with them. Those are the hurt Christians. Somebody tried to correct me, and those mean people, they were. So you have that, and those things take place. So the Christian that doesn't grow up, you know, they're acting carnal. And a true baby, like I said before, last week we talked about a true baby. You couldn't talk to them about being carnal because, I mean, they're a baby. I mean, they just don't know. So saying they act carnal, well, you can't expect anything other than that, you know, because they don't know. But it's just like a little child. A little child, I mean, you don't expect it to change its diaper. You don't expect it, you know, to turn around and get its own food. You don't expect any of that. So there's things you do for it. Someone who is carnal, they're supposed to be able to be at the point that they're doing things for themselves, and they're not. They're supposed to be taking care of themselves, even helping others, and they don't. They're the ones that always need help. They always need ministered to. They always need, you know, they can't ever grab a hold of anything themselves. They always have to have somebody else doing it for them. That's part of that, the way they're growing up. And really, they're in an area where they live very selfish, sensitive life. And like I said, they get hurt easily, and, you know, things don't go their way. So, and that's the reason so many Christians do get hurt, is because they never grow up spiritually. Because, you know, in life, you know, haven't you noticed things don't always go right? Haven't you noticed people do things? You know, you spend a lot of time upset if you're upset if everything goes around you and people do and say. I mean, you spend a lot of time upset. It just, you know, and especially I can see, you know, when Jesus said, you know, talking about the end times, and he says men's hearts will fail them for fear of the things coming on the earth. If you look at people today and the way people are acting, if you don't have any kind of spirituality to you, you just, man, life's hard living now. I mean, all the stuff that's going on, I mean, I can't believe, you know, people have to live in all the things like, you know, this people who are so political and stuff going on and worrying about this stuff going on with their country. You know, I pray for our president, but I ain't got time to worry about this stuff. I can't get over into it because, you know, people who worry about these things and are praying, when they go to prayer, their prayer lives are worthless anyhow because they're praying by their worries and what they're afraid of and everything. None of it's in faith. So it's nothing but promoting the devil. It's helping the devil do his thing. They don't realize it. That's why you can't get sent. People do things. You just got to learn. People say things sometimes. And, you know, some people that say things sometimes and they didn't really mean it. They're just upset all the time. You got to get over it. You just, you know, can't take it all seriously, you know. And, you know, some people, they're not going to like you. So what? I just tell people, get in line. And you're not even close to the front. Those people have been for years mad at me. Get over it. You know, we're not going to let this bother us. My God. Just, it's the way it is. Oh, people say, well, what are you going to do about that? Nothing. Nothing. Oh, my. So, but, you know, and learn to laugh a lot. Laugh a lot. Learn to laugh a lot. Learn to do that. Some people, they get upset about that if you laugh a lot, too. Some people don't like that. I've had people ask me about laughing, and they say, you laugh often. You laugh a lot. But, you know, it's like there's something wrong. I say, you got to. You're either going to laugh or you're going to be whining. One of the two. One of the two. You're going to be whining. And say, you probably whine a lot, don't you? And well, most people, you know, that thing, they take themselves too seriously. Don't take yourself so serious. You're not that bright. You know, it's like, I'm not that bright. You know, I was thinking about that today from the standpoint of, you know, I've watched over the years, you know, people who really, and sometimes you run into people who are really very smart people intellectually and stuff like that. But I've learned over time, people who rely too much on their intellect, they get over in trying to do too many things on their own. And, you know, it's one thing is about following God. You know, if you take people, you look from a scriptural standpoint, you know, like King David sure wasn't a dummy, was he? I mean, he's a smart guy. I mean, and his son Solomon. But you know what? When God told David to build the temple, David built the temple according to what God said, not according to his idea, what he thought would be a good idea of the temple. Solomon didn't throw his ideas on the temple. They didn't. They turned around, they followed what God said to do, and they did it. You know, and I found out, you know, that's a way to make life easy. God tells you to do something. I don't have to try to think up my idea. I don't have to do that. Do what he says. Follow the plan of God. And there's a lot of things, because, you know, like Randy Greer said, he talked about it. We were down here this last week. He said there's a lot of stuff in the church that the church does today and people follow and do was never God's plan. It was never his idea. And man just does it because man comes up with ideas on how we're going to worship God and what we're going to do. It's always trying to offer God something that we want to give him. You know, God never asked me what I wanted to give him. God told me what he wanted. You know, God told worship. He said, I'm looking for somebody to worship me spirit and truth. He didn't say, you know, come up with another idea. He said that's what he was looking for. He didn't ask me how I wanted to worship him. But, you know, it's, now from my perspective, I look at it and think, well, that's easy. And now I know what he wants. A lot of people, they get on their mind and, you know, well, I heard a minister one time. Yeah, well, I want to do this for God. I said, but he never asked you to do that. I said, you know, your love is about you. This is what I want. This is what I want to do. I want to, you know, I'm going to give. This is what I want to give God. But I said, God didn't ask for that. This is what you want to give him. And I said, just do what he said. That's where the blessing is. So, you know, I'm interested in the blessing. You know, there's one thing is, you know, is God taught me about, you know, when I got saved and working at Reese's, you know, and as going from a heathen to a saint, he started to teach me, you know, what I needed to do as an employee and concerning employer, listening to things. And he taught me, he says, give them what they want. If it doesn't work for them, that's their fault. They're the ones said it, they wanted that. So do that. And he said, and one thing is God taught me, you'll always be blessed and you'll always get reward. You just listen to what they say. And I found out, yeah, we did what they want. If it didn't work, it wasn't my problem. They said so. But they always paid me and they wanted me around. And you get these people always bucking the system, giving what they want, and the company's always mad. It's like, give them what they want. Give them what they want. So I found with God, God works with blessing. And I found this over the years, though. What he wants works. It does work. So, you know, do that. Give him what you want. I want you to look at over in 1 Peter, the second chapter. Paul's going to, he says something here. We used the scripture before about growing up spiritually, and we use verse 2 here, which says, I'm going to read verse 2 once in 2 Peter, and then I'm going to go back and I'm going to read verse 1, because if you put the verse 1 in there, it shows us something, especially dealing with people who are from immaturity and that stuff. It tells you what to do about growing up. In verse 2 says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Now, we use that scripture, and it's really good, but read the verse, it tells you something you got to get rid of, or it ain't going to work getting over the word. Look at now we'll put it together. Verse 1 says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So what do you have to do? You know, you don't want to, so in other words, you don't go over and just get the sincere milk of the word and you're going to grow. It tells you things that you need to lay aside. You've got to lay aside malice. You've got to lay aside deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. Then it says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. So you've got to lay some things aside. You'll never grow up. See, you need to understand this and tell people, you need to tell people this, because, you know, there are people will come along and they'll say, you know, they want to grow up. Well, here's one thing you can tell people, say, look, you can't keep running your mouth the way you've been running it. You can't keep doing the things you're being doing. You can't mix that and the word together. I'm going to keep running. I'm going to be a hypocrite, but I'm reading the Bible. Well, don't bother reading the Bible. Don't bother. You ain't going to grow up. It ain't going to do. It isn't going to work. You can't practice the two. They don't work together. And let people know. It's not you. There's things you have to change. You have to change. And so here Peter says that. You got to lay these things aside. So this is one thing that you're going to find out. The person who doesn't grow up spiritually, the one who stays a babe, you'll always find they're practicing these things. Ugh, they don't control what they say. Always talking the wrong junk. Always talking junk they should. Do you ever sit around a person carnal? Do they ever talk spiritual? They always say things that make you gasp. You almost want to go, oh my God, did they ever hear what they say? You know, I've known people to get around, you know, and some people learn to control themselves around somewhat around other Christians, but there's some people that after a while they keep doing it, they'll end up doing it around. I mean, I had a guy and that stuff, he's an Rhema graduate. He'd end up cussing. He'd cuss. He would just turn around and he would just say things, swear words and that stuff, and he'd say, well, after a while, you know, he couldn't control it. I knew he did it and that stuff, but after a while, and then he just, you know, what's in your heart, Ed, comes out. You just keep doing that junk and it'll come out. You practice it. He didn't control himself. And ended up dying prematurely. And, you know, just people don't do it. You know, they mess their lives up. They get over in those areas. But you learn to do those things to control yourself. But you're supposed to desire desire the pure milk of the word that you might grow. And that's going to have to be your desire. See, it is enough to read the Bible. You know, some people, you know, religiously read the Bible, but it's not really a desire to do it. They're just going through the routine. They don't really want to do it. And you got to get where that's your desire. You like the Bible. You like the Word of God. And you want to get yourself over to get hooked up to do that. Another thing that is to do is to really, the Bible says that, you know, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. We need to understand whether it's a carnal Christian, they have the love of God. We have it. It's something that's given to us. Now, a person may not walk in it. We decide whether we're going to walk in the love of God that's in us. You know, some people just say, oh, somebody needs love. Well, if you're born again, you don't need love. The love of God's already shed abroad in your heart. What you have to do is come in contact with that, with the inside. You got to start living out of the inside instead of the outer man, out of the flesh, and you know, out of the lusts of the flesh, and it doesn't matter how spiritual you get, you're still going to have to deal with your flesh all the time. That never comes to an end. You know, it's one of those things. I know Kenneth Hagin. He said about himself. He said he's always had to deal with patience because he said, he says I'm an impatient person. So he said it's something he always has to deal with. Well, see, his flesh, your flesh doesn't change. You just learn to control your flesh. You just learn to do that. You learn to let what's on the inside of you, the love of God that's shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit, you learn to let that control your actions and about the outer man, and letting that dominate you rather than the flesh. And so, I mean, you're not weird. One of the things that, if you don't watch it, you'll live in condemnation because the devil will get you over into the area making you feel guilty because your flesh wants to act up. You need to be careful about that. You know, we want to keep our flesh under control, but you're not going to come to the place, you know, like you're going to have your flesh just turned off forever. If you think you're going to, whenever you think you're really doing great, I'll guarantee you tomorrow you'll probably blow it. Did you ever go through that? Boy, you think you're really doing good, man. I really got it now. And all of a sudden you blow it. And that stuff. And what happens if you don't watch yourself, you'll live in condemnation because you'll get over, feel, oh man, like I just can't do this. Look, this is part of what you're going to deal with all your life till you leave this earth. Your flesh is going to want to act up. It's not going to want to, you know, do things. I always thought about it. I always thought, well, if Kenneth Hagin and where he learned to walk and be, and he was had trouble with his flesh, I just sort of figured Ed's having trouble with his. Well, that shouldn't be anything weird. What it is we're learning more and more to control it. But it's like he said he still had to do the same things to keep his under control. You know, and so you will too. So don't think that you're not going to come up against things and that stuff where your flesh wants to act up. Don't think, you know, it's strange that the thought of you comes that, boy, oh, I just like to, that you wouldn't have that. Well, I'm sorry, you're living this world, you're going to have that. Just don't do it. Say, Lord Jesus, just let me choke them just a little bit. Let me just take them to the woodshed once. Come on, Lord. And you got to stop and say, yeah, that, and it's going to come to you. Something's going to happen. It's just the matter of you learn to keep, don't do it. That's what the whole thing is, learning. Oh, yeah, I got it. So don't feel bad. You know, the devil will tell you, well, you wouldn't, if you were any kind of Christian, you'd have never thought that way. You know, and you'll even find some dumb Christian, they mouth that to you, you know. I've heard Christians say things like, you know, I've never had this problem or that problem. And I always think, my word, they're probably going to go to hell with a liar. You know, they have the problems, acting like they don't. You know, just acting as arrogant as they are is a good sign they don't keep the flesh. Ain't nobody that spiritual. Jesus was tempted in every way like us. How have you been tempted? Just thinking, Jesus had the same thing. Well, was he bad? Did these other people, are they doing better than Jesus? I never had that problem. See, what a liar they are, dear God. Everybody gets tempted to do something stupid. I'm glad I don't do as many things as I used to do as carrying them out. I did get a little better at it. But still, we blow it at times. But you learn it. You learn to walk, and hallelujah. So just keep yourself over to walking in it. One of the things to do is to be very helpful, is for anybody for growing up, is to take time to meditate. One of the things is into 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter on the areas of love, and also is in the book of 1 John. Are good ones for people to spend time in meditation about the about love, is to get yourself over, get in contact. One of the things that I always liked about that really helped me in growing up spiritually, because you sit down and you read, and let me do this. Now, I'm going to read out of the Amplified Bible, out of 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, because when you read this, this almost seems like, oh my God, this is so out there that how can I ever do this? How can I ever do this? And I'm going to read it. But we're going to go, then I'm going to go through it a little bit different here. We'll read through it. But first of all, I'm going to read it from the Amplified Bible, because the Amplified Bible really does, it amplifies it, and it says it in a manner that, it really speak to us. In the 1 Corinthians 13 chapter verse 4 says, love endures long, it's patient and kind, it's never as envious nor boils over with jealousy, it is not boastful, vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily, it's not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride, it's not rude or unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights in its own way. For it's not self-seeking, it's not touchy or fretful or resentful, it takes no account of evil done to it, it pays no attention to a suffered wrong, it does not rejoice in injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person, its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails, never fades out, or becomes obsolete, or comes to an end. And I'm going to stop there in verse 8 at that spot. Now see, you sit there and read that and think, oh my God, do I got work. Whoa, whoa, whoa. One of the things that I think that makes it very difficult for Christians is this, is when we read the Bible, you need to understand this, God is never unjust. God never asks us to do what he does not do himself. One of the things that most Christians have great difficulty in is because they never learn and develop how God loves them. And this is one thing is about it. If you don't know how God is, you'll look at God as an overbearing somebody who's always trying to get you to do something that he don't do, that he just whatever. You understand, God is 100% lives and does His Word. Always. Always. So God's never asked somebody to do something that He has not given the person the ability to do, or that He does not do Himself. It's number one, how does God love you? And I remember as a young Christian, I'd read through these things and I would think, man, this is just, whoa, this is way out there. And Kenneth Hagin was talking about this one time. I was listening to a tape of his, and he's talking about God's love toward us. And he went over this in the book, in the Amplified Bible. And he said, number one, he said, you have to understand that when God's talking about this love, this is how He loves you. This is how God loves you. See, God would be unjust to ask you to love in a manner that He doesn't. And so, see, when we sit there and we look like, and most people look at God's asking us to do something, and I mean, I have literally heard ministers say this, well, God don't have to do this, or He don't have to, He makes it like He has us do it. And I think, well, man, you know, do as I tell you, not as I, you know, you do it as I say, but not as I do, I do it. See, well, what kind of dad is that? Some kind of, you know, he's a scoundrel. I often wonder what people really think sometime of God, Christians really think of Him. And one of the things that Kenneth Hagin said, he said, you know, God is love. The Bible says He is love. That's what He is. God doesn't have love. He does not have love. He is. There's a whole big difference between is and having something. There's something you can have but not be. This is what He is. So when we see the word love, we could interchange the name God, and it would not be, not at all change. It would be accurate. Because if He is love, that's what He is, then therefore this is God speaking. And so when Kenneth Hagin said about this, he said about to writing this thing down and putting where it has love to put the word God, he said, so you begin to understand how this is how God acts towards you. You know, that really changed for me when I started to see. Because it was almost, I don't know me first, it was almost hard to be able to see me in an outward action of this. It was like, see, wow, how do you do all that? How can you? But to realize that's how God is acting toward us. And man, when I started meditating on it that way, it really changed of how you deal with people. What happens if they do something to you? Are you going to hold it against them? Because, you know, before it was really a work and a labor for me to, you know, to deal with those things. And so I just want to read for you. So we're going to start. So it starts in verse 4. He said, God endures long and He's patient and kind. God never is envious nor boils over with jealousy. He's not boastful or vainglorious. He does not display Himself haughtily. Do you ever think about when I was a kid growing up, they talked about God exactly opposite of that. He sort of always did what He wanted. And He could do whatever He wanted. And He could, because He's God. That's not true. This is the way that He is. See, it makes God very personable. This is why for most Christians, God's not personable. This is why people never really move into a personal relationship with God because they don't believe He's personable. He's very personal. He's easy to come in contact with, and He's easy to deal with, and He's easy to hook up to. Because look at His character. What is this? Verse 5. Love or God is not conceited, arrogant, inflated with pride. He is not rude or unmannerly and does not act unbecomingly. God's love in us does not insist on its own rights in its own way. I was always told God did what He wanted to do. See? God is not self-seeking. He's not touchy, fretful, or resentful. He takes no account of evil done to Him. He pays no attention to a suffered wrong. He does not rejoice in unrighteousness and does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. God bears up under anything and everything that comes. He's ever ready to believe the best of every person. His hopes are fadeless under all circumstances. And He endures everything without weakening. God never fails, never fades out, or becomes obsolete, or comes to an end. And I mean, you sit down and meditate on that. I mean, doesn't He sound like somebody you'd really like to get to know? Doesn't He sound like... See, and it does. Well, to me, it changed the whole thing of walking in love. It's like, Wow. To me, this was about a performance to try to do all this, but when you know how God is, it's not that anymore. When you know how He is, this is His character. This is His personality. And so learning how God loves you, it becomes easy, so much easier to act toward another individual when you know you're being acted in that manner towards you. It really helps you. I mean, it does. I mean, you know, you sit down and look at, take time and meditate on it like that. Set it down and write it out like that, where it has love. Make it into this thing about, this is the way God is. This is what He is. This is not something, you know, that He has on the side or something He's trying to do. This is His nature. This is what He is. And think about that. That is what shed abroad in us. When you and I got born again, that nature, that's His nature, that's what He is, and that's what our nature is. So it is normal, it would be normal for you and I to act in this manner. It would be the norm. But see, if you see it. So I just encourage you to take the time, you know. Don't make it a pressure thing on yourself. This is where a lot of people have a hard time and they quit on the love thing because they put this pressure of performance on themselves instead of getting it within themselves of what they really are and what God is toward them, where it comes out in a natural way of acting. And we're trying to do this and trying to do that. Yeah, without God. That don't work. It doesn't work. So get yourself over. Don't get into the things of beating yourself over the head. You know, I'll guarantee you, you'll miss it. But God ain't sitting there with the ugly stick because you missed it. His actions are perfect in this thing. And you know what? He'll try to help you. I will guarantee you, you'll trip and fall. But He won't kick you when you're down. He'll pick you up. I guarantee it. He'll pick you up. That's the way He does. He's just going to keep doing it. You know, you keep going along, and He's there to help you. So you can have that guarantee. But I just encourage you to take it. I that was so helpful to me to be able, because sometimes you get out there, and I'll you know, get my Bible out, and I'll just go over that and read that thing and over and put it in there. Now, this is how God loves me. This is, you know. Because I tell you, you get over there and think, you know, you're doing good and you flub all up. And after a while, you know, you want to beat yourself with the ugly stick. And you got to get yourself over it. You can't let yourself get carried into that. There ain't nothing but failure in that stuff. If you've done wrong, confess your sin. He's faithful and just to forgive you. He loves you. That's why He said He's faithful to forgive you. Get back over. Just come back over on His side. Go boldly to the throne of grace. You know, don't run out there in that little wonderland whining for, you know, next 6 months because you blew it. And get with God, and God will help you out, and you'll overcome. So make sure you do that. So one of the things that you can't do, and you can't do to yourself, you can't force yourself to grow up, and you can't force anybody else to grow up. You know, growing up, I found, you know, spiritually, most people have a desire they want to. Some people don't. Some people have no intent in growing up spiritually. They don't have any intent in it. Well, see, we each have a will. We all have a will and desire. Each one of us do. And, you know, I believe we're here tonight because we want to grow up. That's our desire. We want to. And so it's not a thing. Don't make it a force for yourself to grow up. Don't try to force yourself into something you don't want to do. You know what that would do for you? Absolutely nothing. You'd probably just hate it all the more. You have a desire to grow up. It's a natural desire. In growing up, it's just like with children and growing up. It's something you'll be practicing things. Some things you'll do well. Some things you won't. Some things take longer to develop in than do others. And don't measure yourself against another person. You know, what may be a challenge for you, and you might look at somebody else and say, well, they seem to do it so easy. But I'll guarantee you, they have other places, they have challenges that you do well. There's certain areas of spiritual growth. I mean, I just took off and went through. Man, I could just get a hold of. And there's other stuff I struggled at. I worked hard at it. You know, I was really, you know, it took me a lot of training to develop over time is learning to walk in certain areas. And that's just the way it is. And that's why if you measure yourself against other people and what they're doing, you'll probably end up discouraged. Lots of times, I don't know, we don't notice other people's weaknesses as much as we do our own. And we look at other people and we see their strengths. And in other words, another people always, they don't show you their weaknesses, do they? When they're around you, they'll always show you how strong they are and what they'll show the good side. They don't show you, you know, at home what they did. I have a wife that does that. She dealt with it. She can tell what I did. not tonight, hon. Quiet. So, but we do it. People do. But be very careful of that, because you can, it really, I think people really stunt their own growth. And this is where people get over into the things. Especially when people are true babies and growing up, it's easy for them to get discouraged because they tried. I remember, I noticed so much with Braden, you know, he would like, oh, Paw would do something and he wants to do what Paw does. I remember he was really little and he would just, and he couldn't do it, and he would get frustrated, and I'd have to talk with him. It's okay, come on, we'll try, we'll work together and do this. But it would be really frustrating to them, and they're little, you know, they want to do what the other person's doing, and they want to do that. And spiritually, it's the same thing, and it can be very hard. I know some things that I went through were very difficult for me growing up spiritually, because I really expected more out of me than I was able to do. And God had to deal with me about that because I would get discouraged about stuff. And God had to deal with me about that, how he viewed me. He viewed me as doing really good. That isn't the way I viewed me. He didn't view me as doing very good at all. And he viewed me different. And he dealt with me about that, is where I had to learn about where I'm at. And this is one of the things. Learn to where you're at in your spiritual growth. You know, most carnal Christians think they're spiritual. Oh, yeah. Talk to them and to deal with their spirituality. They'll let you know in a hurry, man. Who are you? You know, they're so spiritual. But they don't. They don't know where they're at. Most of the time as children don't exactly know where they're at. They're in that stage. They don't know what they know or don't know really well. And spiritually, it's the same things with people. And so, but you need to understand. I've learned over time is where my weaknesses and strengths are and what I have to work on. And that you have to know that stuff. Some people never, that's why some people never grow up in certain areas of their life, because they never rightly judge where they are. Well, if you think you're all right in an area and you're not, are you going to be trying to work in that one? No. You have to know what works. I see people, you know, especially like in areas of your faith, measure yourself. You can see this of yourself, and it's a very easy way to check yourself. Areas, look at the areas where you use your faith and things works, and over here you do and it don't. You need work in that area. There's something about your faith isn't, your faith needs improvement in that area. There's areas I'm very strong in. Any areas of healing, I mean, I can stand. There's other areas I got to work at. And I've realized that I have to set my faith. I have to really, you know, work in that area concerning getting myself scripturally believing. I don't mind if you can quote scriptures. You have to have them in you that you know that you can stand in those areas. You have to find out about yourself and know that about yourself where you can stand. I see like some people, financially, they have a hard time standing in an area and that stuff. And you have to know about that stuff. If you have that, well, then you need to recognize, I need to build my faith in there. What do I have to do? God's Holy Ghost start to teach me what I need to do to develop in that area so I can become stronger in faith in that area. You know, some people have weakness in areas of healing or different things. What do I have to do to develop in that area? What do I need to? You need to recognize nobody's great at everything. We'll all have areas that seems we grab a hold of very easily. It's much easier, and some areas we don't. And those areas we don't, you need to recognize that in yourself, because if you don't, you won't do anything about developing. If you think you're all right, you'll stay there. Well, what's bad about that is you'll probably hit a place in your life you're going to really need to operate in that area, and you won't be able to. That special area, I watch people in the area of healing all the time. They never really develop themselves in that area, and then life comes along and throws something really hard at them. They can't deal with it. They can't deal with it. You don't want to come up against something terminal, and you haven't really developed your faith in that area, because almost always, I've found this out, there it's too late for most people to try to develop in that area. It's too late till they find out the condition they're in. They don't have enough time to get it fixed. They don't have enough time to develop. See, I've developed my faith in the areas of healing over a long time, a long period of time. I didn't do it in 10 minutes. It don't happen in 10 minutes. I developed over a long period of time. And so it takes, you have to learn to do that. And it's just the same in other areas. You know, there's, you know, some people, they never develop their inner self in the areas of walking by faith and forgiving. They never really get good at that. And boy, then things happen. It piles up in their life and it piles up and they've never gotten to the area of developing it. And then you get to the place and, you know, you can come to the place where you just can't forgive and you can't fix it. You can go to the point where you can't fix it. You can't fix it. You can't get yourself. You get yourself set in a direction. There's people, and it happens. They got themselves in an area where they can't change. You can get yourself over where you can't change. So you don't ever go there. And that's why you want to find out things about yourself and know about yourself, some things that you can't turn around. I know that these ministers minister and they tell people like, you know, well, and you know, God can turn anything. Yes, God can, but God can't just turn you around. He has no authority to just make you be able to turn. Your heart can get set in a direction, you can't change it. You can get so set, you can't change it. You have put it in you so far and so long, it becomes unchangeable. There's people who have gotten themselves to the point they cannot be saved. They have fought against God and God has called them and talked to them and talked to them and they refused and refused. They have gotten so hard in their hearts they can't be saved any longer. They'll end up going and dying and going to hell. Now see, people don't like to hear that. That happens to people. That happens. There's people who will not be able to get saved. They can't get saved. People can preach and say any darn thing they want to say. Don't make it true. And this is why. You never want to get over into areas. It's one thing is about us Christians that we have in this benefit. We walk as best we can and understand and grow and developing. It's one thing is we end up in heaven. You know, there's not, that's, you know, there's nothing bad about our end. You know, we got it made. Hallelujah. From that stand, we end up in heaven. I mean, how bad is that? And understanding that. But there's one thing as it is. There's one thing as I've decided. When I meet Jesus, I want to be ready to meet him from the standpoint, not meet him and say, man, what was wrong with you down here? What was wrong? You idiot, you know. I want to at least hear, well done, good and faithful servant. You know, well, you did a pretty good job down here, didn't you? It's like, oh my God, I don't know what on earth you were doing. And hear him say, boy, you'd be glad I'm merciful. It was just just in naturally, we grow by eating the right things. It's the same way. There's no other way for a person who's carnal to change. And this is why is you... The carnal Christian, it's what they feed upon. If you can't change them about what they feed on, the things that they feed on, you know, they feed on slander and gossip. I know we had a woman who lived across the street from us, and it just, she was a Christian, born again, but a gossip. And she went around our neighborhood. There's one thing is, I don't listen to the gossip around her. And when people come talk to me, and I say to them, yeah, I don't pay any. I just tell them I don't pay no attention to that. I don't listen to it. I tell people straight out, I don't listen. I don't want to know. I don't want to know. Don't tell me. You know what? I don't. You know, there's enough that we see that we know is wrong with people without having somebody telling you more. You don't need any more on the list. Just like let it alone. Let it alone. Well, she went around. One day I talked to her. I said to her about this. It was years ago I said to her about this, about going around. She's telling about so-and-so, and I just said about it, because she's a Christian lady, and so I just said about it, you know. She said, I like to hear about these things. And I thought, yeah, she likes to hear bad things about people. She likes to hear. You know, she came down with cancer, ended up dying. She ended up coming up with cancer. You know, it's funny, her husband isn't saved. He lives. She's dead. But you know what? She was living much worse than he was doing that. See, God expected a lot more out of her. She didn't. She didn't. See, she thought there was nothing wrong with what she does. She likes to hear that stuff. See, and this is like there's things you just don't want to feed yourself. You don't want to feed yourself those things. So you're supposed to be, you protect your heart. And you keep your heart because out of it's the source of life. You can't put death in it. You can't put garbage in it. You can't put stuff, hearsay and stuff about people. And I don't care if it is true. You can't put those things in. That can't be what your spirit. How are you going to walk in love when you fill your spirit with those things? You're not going to. You can't do that. We hear enough just by being in this world without trying to hear bad stuff about people. I mean, just going around. I mean, people know you go around where you work. You don't have to try to hear. You don't just have to turn around and wear earplugs or put on the headphones that cut out all the sound and walk around to not hear. But you can't help it. You do hear things. But for intentionally wanting to hear, that's a dangerous thing. And that is a bad thing. I'll be honest with you. I think that was her killer. I think I was her killer. Doing that. See, people don't understand the things that they do. She didn't realize she's walking around putting death in her all the time, wanting to hear bad things about people. You know, saying, I don't want to know. I don't want You know, if you get it in people and hearing bad things about them all the time and hearing bad things, it's going to be hard for you if you even want to pray for them. When you have filled your heart with bad things about them, how do you get out of that same heart a love that's going to want to pray for and see that person turn? It's not going to work. It's not going to work. So this is one of the things is, you know, I don't need all the bad stuff. I don't need... We know what people did, but I don't want to feed on it. Don't feed on those things. She was fed on those things, and that was definitely not a good thing to do. What you want to do is feed on the Word of God. You know, is number one, you will never find lots of times you find people, especially when it comes over to spiritual things, you'll find that the carnal Christian is a pessimist lots of times about things of God. You don't want to get... Here's one thing that you need to know. Even if you're over into things where you want to read the Word of God, you want to always be an optimist, you know. Faith is based in optimism. It's not based in pessimism. Hope, especially on the areas of hope. See, we found that love, its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, no matter what goes. See, faith is the substance of things hoped for. You can't be hopeless and ever come to faith. It'll never happen. People who are pessimistic, and what you'll find that when you get over in people who are carnal, they're pessimists about the things of God. They're always, well, you know, I don't know why God did this to me, and they're pessimists about it. They always are. You know, it's always somebody else's fault this happened to me. You know, couldn't happen to me because, you know, I'm a rotten scoundrel and I just don't obey God. No, it couldn't happen to me. I'm pretty nice. I know. So and so said I'm nice. Well, he wasn't nice either. So, in fact, if he told you were nice, who cares? What about God? And you always want to me, the Word of God is always when the Word of God, I always look for when God's Word corrects me. I never look at it as a bad thing. I always look at it as I'm optimistic. It's like, boy, am I glad He told me that, so I know what to do. I can get things straight. You know, I can't stand people who won't tell you the truth about something. They'll beat around the bush and they'll do everything and they'll out and out basically lie to you to try to make everything's okay when it's not. I can't stand it when somebody says, you know, you ask, well, what's wrong? You know something's wrong. And they'll say, nothing's wrong. And I know, now you just told a lie. Now you're a liar. Boy, this is really helps correct things, don't it? So, you know, we go to lie and this really helps it. Should I tell you how to help break a person in that habit? You ask them and they say there's nothing wrong. Then this is what you do when they come up and they want to talk about it. Say, no, I'm not interested. You said nothing's wrong. I don't want to hear a thing. Now they don't know what to do. Because you don't want to listen to them. I mean, be nice to them. Do that till it throws them. You told me nothing was wrong. So... Don't tell me now. Nothing's wrong, remember? So you telling me you were lying to me? How could I believe you now when you're talking to me? You already proved you're a liar. But laugh after you do. Don't pour personal filter. You'll confuse them so bad. You don't want to talk about something at the time, just tell them. So I don't want to talk about it now. But don't lie. Don't go to lying. Oh, Gloria. If you want to try to help a person who is, especially a carnal Christian, if you can find some place to hook up with them, somewhere that you can try to put something into them. It's not always easy to do with a person. But one of the things you're going to have to get a person to sit to where they're going to want to hear the word and sit down and listen to it and listen to what the word says about it, because there's no other way to grow up spiritually than through the word. There's no other way to do that. And and understand, you're going to find some people that want to change. Some people don't. And you're not responsible for people who don't want to change. You're not responsible for them. You know? We want to walk in love with them, an opportunity if they want help or want to change where we could help them and minister to them in some way. But they have to want to do that. We can't make them. You can't make people grow up spiritually. Just like, emotionally and anything else naturally in life, you can't make a person. They're going to do what they want to do, have you noticed? And, one of the bad things about Christianity is Christians are, and I've had this happen a lot in my Christian walk, where people really, they'll get to a point where they're trying to help somebody and the person doesn't want help, but they just keep trying to do it. They just keep trying to, I'm going to fix this thing, and they can't. And they end up almost destroyed because they're trying to help that person and things don't go right. And they just, I just had a thing with a person came to me about it, said they've done so much trying to help this person and they were just they felt terrible because they really felt they should be able to help and it didn't turn out. And when I talked to him, I could see, I talked to him nicely about it. I said, but you could see that this whole thing was going to come. You could see, because I'm asking him certain things, the person about certain things that took place. Yeah. I could see. I saw that. I said, see, you saw the whole thing coming, but you just ignored. You saw all these things that said, this ain't working. But you decided you were going to be God. You decided. I can change a person. No, you can't. You can't change a person. You can't make. God can't. If God can't, it's a good chance Ed's not going to make it happen. And you're not. And you got to understand that. You know, we give opportunity. We can share the word. But if a person doesn't want to, they don't have to. People can. You know, we don't have to. Paul, talked about the Christian and married to a non-Christian. He said if they choose to leave, let them go. In other words, Paul didn't believe you'd change everybody. But you know what? There's a lot of faith preachers believe you just stay and make it work and make it work. And man, the person, you just keep hanging on and hanging on and hanging on. And they're totally wrong. Unless God tells you it's going to work, you can't make God, you need to know. You can make it work or you can't. You waste your life trying to fix what you cannot fix. You don't want to spend your life doing that. There's no love in that. And there's no labor for God in it at all. There's a lot of people, they love the martyr life, Poor old me, You see, I suffered. Yeah, you suffered. That's right. You suffered it all. Because God wasn't in it. Nobody else. That was you suffering. We don't do that. Don't go through it. With people, if people don't want to make the changes and all that stuff, we love them. And sometimes just got to let them go their way. They have that right. They have the right to do that. And, praise God. We just keep down the road. We keep walking right. The best that we do for anyone is we keep following God. Not trying to force somebody else to do it. You just keep following God. So, praise God. We don't want to take things away from people. We do want to give them something. We want to put something in people. And So keep yourself set that, especially dealing with these people, the carnal Christian, it is very difficult. And we have, I would say today, carnality is really huge in the church. I want to read to you some scriptures here in Hebrews, the fourth chapter. In one of Jesus' appearings to Kenneth Hagin asked him directly about who wrote the book of Hebrews. And before I heard him ever hear this from Kenneth Hagin, I always thought the Apostle Paul wrote it. He was one of the, if you go back, you study, they say the Paul, and others say, well, we didn't know, whoever. But it's one thing is interesting. There's a number of places in Hebrews that the Apostle Paul, the things that he said directly in the exact same wording is said in the book of Hebrews. And when I look through, it's one of the things is the Apostle Paul, he was a Pharisee. So he understood the law, understood the priesthood. He understood all that stuff. I mean, he was really from the law standpoint. He understood it. And this is what the book of Hebrews is really is taking, speaking to Jews concerning the law and showing Christ. And really, he's taking the Old Testament, and really, you understand this, in the apostles, all of them, the 12, and any in the day of the beginning of the church, there was no New Testament. There wasn't. They preached Christ from the Old Testament. That's what they did. And really, Hebrews is that. Hebrews, to me, is a great book. I mean, it's a wonderful book. And so Jesus did say then that he said Paul wrote it. And but I want you to see something here, the fourth chapter. This is Paul writing, and we're going to see here this condition. In verse 12, verse 12. In the fourth chapter, it says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Oh, excuse me. Yeah, Five twelve. Look what he said. He said to this group, now, they should be teachers. And he said, no. In other words, they digressed to where they were. They have fallen back. He said, you guys ought to be teachers, but you're not. He said, now we're going over. He said, you guys need milk. He said, now here we are giving you guys milk. You should be teaching the word. In other words, a digression took place. See, you don't stay at a spiritual level just because you arrived there. And if you don't maintain yourself, you're going to digress. And that's what happened to them here. Verse 13, where he said, "For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." So a person can want to. You can't just stay on milk. You just can't stay there, you know, just getting by on things. He said, "Solid food belongs to those." Now listen, solid food belongs to those who are full age. And here's one thing: the words of full age. He said, "That is those who, by reason of use." Use of what? The Word of God. The ones who use the Word. In other words, the person who is carnal doesn't use the Word. Now, what is the use of the Word for? He said, use the Word by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Their senses are exercised. He's talking about your senses on the inside of you. You can tell what's right and what's wrong. See, when people can't, I'm just amazed today. I mean, so many Christians. Over the years, it really has amazed me if people come up and ask me things about, is this right to do it? Can you do this or that? And I think about it. God, you got to ask me this. Are you even a Christian? I mean, it's like, good God. I could see, you know, a six-month-old baby not getting this thing. But they're coming and asking. Why? This I know about them. They're a spiritual baby. They're spiritual babies. They don't know the difference between God. They have not exercised the word. Do they know what's right or wrong? These people here must have been at the place where they could tell the difference, but now they're back. And they see, you can get over in the flesh so much that after a while, you can't even tell the difference between right and wrong. That's what happened to them. They can't tell the difference. They can't know the difference between what's right and wrong anymore. Man, are we living in that Christianity anymore? Right and wrong, dear God. I mean, we've gotten to the point, I mean, where we have people that I know that were born again are now talking, well, yeah, the homosexual's okay and this is all right. Where have they gotten to? There's definitely no spiritual maturity there. I mean, I don't even think they're on milk. And what happened is they live by their physical senses. They're not walking by what's right and what's true. And so a person can start out and can go along and be mature. I mean, I know people that Wanda and I were the first church that we were really involved with, that there was people that were in that church that, took off and were growing in that stuff and saw them. But today, when I'm around them, it's to me, I don't even recognize them anymore. I mean, it's like, they're not the same people anymore. I mean, when they were 6 months old, the one guy and his wife, I knew them when they first got born again. And they were more spiritual at 6 months old than they are today. They're just completely carnal. I mean, they're just as carnal as the day is long. When you get around them, it's always time. I hear them say things every once in a while. I'll be somewhere and they want to talk some, and I just want to get away. it drives me crazy because I have to listen to what they say and I can't reply back because I'd have to say something dumb or just say, "What is wrong with you morons? What on earth? Get saved or something!" But quit trying to act like you know God when you haven't got a clue. I mean, because it is, they say stuff that is so off the wall that you just, The last time I talked to him, the wife said something, she said one thing to me, and I'll tell you, it took me days to try. God, what has happened to this lady? She is so far out there in left field. They're so far gone. And they go to a so-called spirit-filled church, but I don't know what that spirit's filled. Well, I think I do know. And we have a lot today. People have the idea. It isn't just a matter of going to place and somebody preaches and uses the Bible about things. That don't mean the right spirit's operating in that church. Because the devil will use scriptures. We need to understand. We have this idea. There are many churches that are just religious, and they're saying right things. But it's no more than religion. They're just saying right things. It's not what they are, and they don't have really the Spirit operating through them. It's them doing it. And you have to... I just feel bad about this, that most Christians don't even recognize. They don't recognize the Spirit that's operating through people. They don't recognize it. They don't see it. They're just... People are just by their senses. Well, they used the Scripture. Well, so what? The devil will come and use a scripture. He used ones on Jesus. It's like, using scripture? They don't know what the Spirit is behind things. And I tell you what, over the years, I have watched it. I get around things and sometimes I think, oh man, this is wrong. And everybody else is saying, oh, isn't this really good? Isn't this really good? I'm thinking, man, this thing ain't right. And the bad part about it is, it'll usually go on for a long period of time. And all of a sudden, it'll show up and people will see that it wasn't right. But it's usually too late. They've already got sucked into it. But not paying attention. That's why you got to listen on the inside. It's with me, I don't care how good something looks. If on my inside, somewhere it doesn't seem right. Dealing with an individual, and they talking some stuff, and everything they say is right, but I know on the inside, this ain't right. Something ain't right. Something's really off base here. Yet everything they say sounds right, but I just know things aren't right. I just know it. And I got over praying about it, and the more I pray about it, the more I know it ain't right. See, it doesn't matter. If you're just going to listen to what you see on the outside and it's good, you're going to live by your senses. You're going to live carnal. You're going to live carnal. There's no other way. You've got to learn to, it's in the inside. And it's not to find fault with people. But you've got to know what's right and what's wrong. And just because you can't always tell just naturally something's right or wrong. In fact, most of the time you can. You've got to measure things by the inside, the inner man, and look at something's not right. If something's not right, I hold off. I've learned over the years. Major mistakes that I got into is because I bypassed that, and I watch people, the major mistakes in their life. Some people keep doing those same mistakes over and over, and I've watched them over the years. Now they're trapped in it. They can never get out of it. Always following what seems good, and you know what, all these years, and they keep doing the same thing over and over. Now it's a pattern of life. They don't listen on the inside. There's a warning thing on the inside of you. And something don't seem right. I learned when I was a young Christian, and you know, I've told the story. We were actually down at the worship center had just started at that time. They were down in Lititz in the hall down there in the city park. It was sort of like a little civic center thing that they had there. And they were meeting in there on Sunday mornings, and I'll never forget. And I missed it the first time. Really, God was trying to deal with me when this couple walked in, and while worship was going in, walked in the row and stood in front of us and stood there. And it came up inside of me, it isn't doing them any good to be here. Now, I never met these people, didn't know these people, didn't know who they were. Said it wasn't doing them any good to be here. So I was just a young Christian. And I was like, why would I think that about them? See, I got over the natural about it. I just got over. Now, I want you to say that. As a young Christian, see, it's one thing as I say, God didn't, I don't know. What other people talk about God dealing with them as a young Christian, God never dealt with me like a lot of people. A lot of people, they spend too many years in goo-goo, gaga land. I don't know how they spend it there. God never dealt with me like that. I don't know. God just expected me to grow up. And you know, that there came up, it was one of the things that I learned immediately is you got to learn to me, the spirit realm's real. That's one of the things that most Christians have a very hard time with is they have never come to the place where the spirit realm, which you can't see, is the real realm. They still live out of this realm is the most important to them. The seeing realm and the touch feel is the most important to them. It's not with me. That's the spirit realm. There's a realm that I can't see that has the power that changes things and makes things happen. Influences people to do things they would never do, or empower people to do what they would never do, or empower you to do what you'd like to do, you know. And that thing happened to me anyhow, that guy. Well, in any end, turn around because I bypassed that. I thought at first, what's wrong with me? Why would I think of these people and that stuff? And I thought, oh, Ed, you're messed up. You don't even know this person. So you got to walk in love. But see, that was going on in my spirit, what was happening. It wasn't my mind. See, I had to learn to divide soul and spirit. But God was trying to protect me because we ended up getting hooked up with these people. And it ended up being a mess, didn't it? And it ended up being a mess for some other people. And it really caused some problems among other people that, you know, that God hooked up in this whole thing too. And they... It was just really a mess. We ended up having people that turned against us because they wanted to follow some religious stuff, and I wouldn't do it. And so, but that thing taught me a lesson. I learned when something goes off in my spirit, I stop. I don't care what anybody else does. I don't care what anybody. I don't care if in my spirit said no, something didn't work, and everybody left the church, I wouldn't bother me in one lick. I'd say, well, goodbye. I ain't moving past what's going on in my heart for nobody. I have done it. And every time it's cost me. I ain't doing it for nobody. And we did, and I learned from that one. I thought, boy, God tried to warn me. So I got around, and I thought, you know, you get around people, and I got around people that were much my elders in the Lord. When our church first started, and started starting church, I got involved in a minister's group, and they were involved with, you know, there was Ray McGrath, and I mean, these guys have been in ministry a lot longer than me. And the people that they're turning around and promoting and that stuff, God's telling me to stay away from. The people they think are great, people they think are wonderful, God's telling me, you be cautious around here and this. And they're all going, see, they're moved by people's ministries of what it looks like. They look like they're really prosperous or look like doing things. I didn't know at all what was going on with these ministers. I had no clue or idea. I just knew inside, you stay away. Every time that that happened, it turned out, over a couple year period, all of a sudden it would come out about what these people were doing. And they weren't living right lives and doing good stuff. I mean, the one guy, when they went turned around and found out, he had probably slept with about 50 different women. And he had been doing all this stuff. And another guy, he had lied about his ministry and all kinds of... They were supporting, giving money to these people. And they're telling us that we're supposed to support them and do things. And I wouldn't. I didn't. And I didn't get behind him. These people would come and ask me to come to their ministry and minister and for them and stuff. And I wouldn't go. So there's something wrong with me, you know. I'm sorry, I just stayed away, and I'm not glad. The people who are my leaders, they just keep going on and just pick somebody else. They're not listening how they're inside. They're not listening to the inside. They go by what looks good. If a ministry's big, it's good. It's not what moves it. You've got to learn that about yourself. You've got to listen on the inside. It'll spare you of a lot of things. You know, hooking up with wrong people really mess your life up. You can end up places you didn't want to go and in situations you wish you'd have never got into. And you got to learn to listen. You can't go by what things look like. You got to listen on the inside. And I just encourage you in that. It's a big thing. So a lot of people stay carnal. They keep going along and just making their choices. They don't stop and listen to the inside. Is God really moving in this direction? Am I supposed to be doing that? You know, sometimes people are going in a direction God called them to, but He didn't call you to that. I don't care how good it is. You get involved in it, you might shorten your life because you don't belong there. You're not anointed to be there, and the devil will have access to you because you're out of the will of God. You need to understand those things. Sometimes why people die early. And people say, I don't know, they were so good and doing good things. What happened? People say, I don't know what happened. You don't know what happened because you don't know whether they were doing good things or not. They might have been out of the will of God. You don't know. This is why you want to find out your place. You don't want to find out somebody else's, what looks good. I've been offered a lot of things as being a Christian. Go and join in things and being a part of things. You got to stay where God calls you and walk in with God. You know, when Juan and I, they asked us to stay at Rhema. They wanted us to stay there and work in a church. They wanted us there. That sounds good. You know, you get there and the ministry staff, we want you. You know, that sounds really good. Big ministry wants you. God says, go back to Lebanon. You look, Lebanon? Here with this? Lebanon? But you know what? I said to Wanda, all I have inside me is go back to Lebanon. I said, that's the only thing I can get. And she said, yeah. She said, it's all I get too. So we said, we can't stay. And we said, we've got to go back to Lebanon. We want to go back to Lebanon. That's the last place we wanted to go. So we came back to Lebanon. See, it isn't about, you got to follow what's in your heart. And there's one thing I've learned. If I'm in the will of God and do what He says, I don't care whether it looks good or not. He must take care of me and bless me there. If He don't, He's a fraud and a liar. God don't have to bless you when you go somewhere He hasn't called you to. He don't have to bless you. You're not in His will. God has to bless me because I'm in His will. He ain't got a choice on it because He's a liar if He don't. He must bless me. If I'm in His will, He has to bless me. See, that's their security. This is why you want to find out, is God moving in this or not? Why? Because that's for your blessing. I always tell people, when we first started up, this is my land of milk and honey. This is the place where God blesses me. It has nothing to do with anything else. He told me to be here, so I'm where He's at. So He will take care of me here. He'll look after me here. He'll always bless me here. So I can count on that. And that, you have to learn that yourself. See, most Christians, they live their lives out of, well, let's go do this, or let's get, what's God saying to you? Well, no, that looks good. This really looks good. You know how many Christians I've seen fail because they went to what looked good. And you don't go to what looks good. And, I've watched Christians that go to churches. They went to churches. We go to churches that give me an opportunity for this or that and the other thing. Hold it. Did God send you there for that? Or did you? I watch people. That's one of the things that the one guy, him and his wife, was talking about getting around them. That's what they did. They went to a church so he could play drums. And he's been out of the will of God ever since and just gotten so messed up and Why? You can't degrade. You can't go to something God didn't call you to. You can't do that. That's why it's listen on the inside. Be led. You know, that's what spirituality is, listening what's on the inside. That's being spiritual. Listening to what's on the inside. Get in the Word of God. Learn the Word of God so the Holy Ghost can talk to you through the Word. Direct you to what He wants you to do. So you can fulfill God's plans. Because why? God has a plan for your life, of blessing, of good, of health, of soundness. He has that plan for you. See, there are people who don't realize they get out of the will of God. They get over into where they're not supposed to be. It's a place the devil can attack them. They end up with health problems. They end up with other kinds of problems. Other things go on and have family problems. Out of the will of God. Trying to pray to get things straightened out while you're out of the will of God. God said, go do this. No, we're doing this. Over here on this side, praying, say, I just don't understand. So you ever stop to see? Do you ever stop and say to Him, I do that often. I say, Lord, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? See, if I'm not, I want to know. Most people will never pay much attention to that. They just think, you know, the faith people think, I just make confessions with my mouth of the Word. It's just going to work. No, it don't. There's things tied to it. There's stuff tied to this. So find out what the will of God is, you know. It's one of the things about it, it's hard to steer a car sitting still. It don't turn well. You know, this wheel don't. It's move a little bit. One of the things I found out, when you start to move a little bit, lots of times God will give you direction, but till you do something, you're just sitting and waiting and waiting and waiting. Which sometimes, I found this out, sometimes I've headed toward a direction of something, and it wasn't until I stepped toward it till I found out that wasn't what I was supposed to do. Sometimes you don't hear it till you do that. Sometimes you got to go check something out. And then when you do, you just know, this isn't right. This is not the thing. And you just have to do that. Don't be afraid to do that, because sometimes you need to. You get moving in a toward a direction, and that's part of the faith walk. Not walking by what you see. Say, well, I don't know exactly. This is, here's an opportunity, and you start ahead for it, and you just say, no, that's, you just, somehow, that's not it. That's not what to do. That's not it. Okay. Then you try. I've done this over the years where I've walked toward four or five different things and nothing's been right. And then I just finally got it. And it'll come to me, something Kenneth Hagin said. Sometimes he said, God won't say anything to you because you're just supposed to stay steady in what you're doing. Sometimes that can be one of the hardest things to do. Just stay steady in what you're doing. Because it don't seem like it's working. It doesn't seem like it is, but that's what you're supposed to do. Just stay there and just keep doing that. Keep doing that. Keep doing that. Just do what you know to do and just keep doing that. But when you know the inside, yeah, this is what I'm supposed to do. Just stay here and do this. And, you know, your mind will talk to you, say, this ain't working. But on the inside, you know, this, just stay steady. Stay steady. Your mind gets going and your flesh wants to do something, and it's very hard today for people because we're a flesh motivated society. That's the culture of America. America is we like things changed all the time, and it's not like that with God. Everybody likes something new all the time. You know, do you ever notice we've come through? And I mean, like, you know, there's no matter what it is, it's made out here, whether it's cars or whatever it is. As soon as the new model of something, that people have to have the new of everything. If a new phone comes out, I don't care, just has a new button on the front of it. You have to have it. The button don't do anything, and it's no better than any of the one it was 10 years ago. But everybody has to have it because it's the new thing out here. We don't use 10% of what the phone does, but we got to buy the one that has everything on it. We don't have a clue how any of it works or what it does. You know, when I say 10%, the average person only uses a phone about 10% of what it can do. We could buy a $200 phone that would do us more than what we need. But we have to have one because everybody has one. This is the thing to have. I don't want to be the guy that doesn't have the one that has all that stuff. If we do them with everything, we have to have the stuff, and everybody has to have something new all the time, something different, something changing all the time. And I'll tell you what, it's hard to be a Christian and do that. Because God's not like that. God changes not. God's patient. It makes you crazy because what we're doing doesn't seem to make sense to people. People have to have all this change on it, and God's not like that. God can stop and have a person sit doing the same thing and just continue. You know, we have this idea, promotion. What do we call promotion? You know, God calls you to might call you an office and never change it. No matter how well you do, He doesn't call you to a higher office. Most people, He won't. He won't ever. See, we live in a society. Everybody's frustrated if you don't get promoted. If you don't get, everybody wants a promotion. God doesn't do that. God may call you to something and you just stay there. It's like, if God calls me this, that's what He does. That's it. It doesn't matter to me. Then I'm in the will of God doing this. It doesn't matter. It isn't about promotion. It's about doing the will of God. This is about my eternity. This is about people's eternity. And people are not going to be ready for their eternity. They're going to have no reward. Most Christians will have no reward when they get to heaven. None. Because they've never done the will of God. They have an American society. You know? They're always looking for promotion. They're always looking for that. That's not what the will of God is. It's not about me getting promoted. God bless me with anything I want blessed with. But you know what He has me standing to do? You just might do that all the time, and that may be just where you're at. And you've got to learn to be content doing the will of God where you're at. I think some of the most successful people that have ever been around are people that just did what they did. I always think about, there was a lady that Kenneth Hagin talked about. He said her whole life, all she did was spend it. She was down in Texas, and at that time, down in western Texas, there wasn't any full gospel churches through the little towns in Texas out there. And she would take a town, she would give in to pray for it. She'd probably spend about 12 hours a day in prayer. And she would pray day after day after day to a church would start in that town, a full gospel church would start in that town. And she had this map, and she would pick then another one. She'd take another town, and she'd begin to pray for, you know, some of them she prayed for years, for until all of a sudden a church would start there. Then she'd get a pin, stick it on the map, and she'd start to pray for another time. That's all she ever did. That's all she ever did. Kenneth Hagin said, when that lady gets to heaven, he said, got to heaven, said she had so much reward. She said, all those preachers think they started that church, those churches. He said, they didn't start none of them. That woman did it. She probably did more than most ministers ever thought about doing in her life. And see, somebody else thought, you know, Billy Graham was really great one of them. Somebody prayed and got what he, you know. It's because somebody was in the background doing what somebody didn't think was too important. Was making that thing work. And see, we need to understand, that's why it's important. You follow the plan of God, because when you're in the plan of God, you're fulfilling what God's called you to do, and it has a purpose, and God doesn't do anything without, for nothing. And if you don't do it, that part don't get done. That part doesn't happen. And if that part, what if that lady hadn't done that? What if that lady, she wanted to be in the forefront of something? Think of all those churches that would have never started. I forget how many churches he said that she started. She got started. Bunches of them. She got churches started. She'd pray. Pray to God would get somebody into place and get that church started there. Hallelujah. So us in our part, sometimes, you know, we, in part sometimes, we see things physically that we do, but sometimes we don't see what it does or things that we do. You know, I was just shocked, you know, one time I met a guy from California who, when I told him what my name was, he knew who I was. I said, how do you know what I was, who I am? He said, I have some of your tapes. This is back when we used to tape. He said, I have some of your tapes. I said, my tape? How'd you get my tapes? And then he said, well, I said, I don't know. And then he said, oh, well, so-and-so said, he said some person gave it to me. Here it turned out, I found out, somebody was taking tapes out to Fredericksburg to a barber. And in the barber shop, people would take things that they could exchange things, and they would take my tapes and put them in there, and somebody got them. Anyhow, turned around and got a guy. Well, here later on, there's a guy in Europe. I forget where it was in Europe. Knew who I was. I thought, this is weird. He was just listening to my days for Europe. This is crazy. But you think about this today. Oh, like we put on online, anybody, any place in the world could be. Well, you know, listening. It's just, you don't know. See, we sit and do things and think, well, maybe we're not touching many people. You have no idea what you're doing. Don't have an idea what you might be doing. And so follow the will of God. Hallelujah. It's worth it. Glory to God. Let's close in prayer. Father, I just want to thank you tonight, Lord God, for directing us and guiding us and leading us. I'm so grateful for the Holy Spirit. And Lord God, I think back of this so many years ago when I first started off, when you said to me, Lord, that if I didn't learn to be led by the Spirit, I wouldn't amount to anything. And Father, I just pray, Lord God, as if anything, anything that we learn to be led by the Spirit of God, that we listen to the inside, to the inner man. Father, we want to develop where the inner man dominates and rules. Lord, we want to live in the place that the Bible calls spiritual people. That's where we want to live because, Father, our great desire is to do your will, is to follow your plans and your purposes. And you know that. That's what we want. Father, we're not trying to do something else. And Lord God, we know along the way if we've missed it, we've stumbled, we've fallen, but you've never quit with us. And Lord God, we know this is the fact that we're after you and you're after us. And you, Father God, you're going to work in us and keep leading us and keep directing us and keep teaching us and keep instructing us. And Lord God, we're going to keep growing. We're going to keep developing, Lord God, and walk by faith. Our great desire is to please you, and we will do it. Hallelujah. And we thank you for all that you're going to accomplish and do in us. In Jesus' name, amen.